welcome you to Doxodeo Hatfield, a multi-ethnic family on mission, passionate about Jesus, passionate about community, and passionate about serving the city of Tshwane.
There, beautiful people of Doxodeo Hatfield. It's so good to be here together this morning. Amen. I hope that some of you did manage to ask somebody something really deep and pensive in this time. I can see some of you are looking like a little awkward. It's okay. If anybody asked you what color your toothbrush is, or worse, what color your underwear is, I hope you answered honestly. But it is not minute to torture. It is a beautiful, beautiful moment for us to just gather together and get to know each other in community. Amen. Amen. This morning, as Joe said, we're carrying on in our series called Co-Mission, and it's so good to be able to just delve into those values, those things that we uniquely want to strive for as church, and that we're all headed towards together as this community. So, as I was thinking for the past couple of weeks around this series and around today specifically, where we'll be speaking about spiritual formation, the story and the picture that kept dropping into my heart is just the story of Michelangelo. And I'm not referring to the Ninja Turtle. For those of you that are that way inclined, some of you are like, Ninja Turtles? I am dating myself when I say these things. But essentially, Michelangelo was this renowned, great artist, and round about the 1500s, he created the statue of David, and some of you would be familiar with that statue, 5.17 meters tall, giant, huge, huge statue of David, and this statue was really a testament to his skill and his dedication. Can you imagine working on something for 3 whole years of your life? And this statue is 5.5 tons, 5,500 kilograms. And it was created from one solid block of marble. Can you imagine just chipping away at that? And if you actually go look at the photos online, the detail of the veins in David's neck, of the wrinkles that you see on certain parts of his body, there was such intricacy and such beauty that was poured into that statue. And there's this story, and it is just a story. I wish I could say, man, this was documented, this is real. But there's this story that someone wrote where they said, well, somebody came up to Michelangelo when he unveiled this statue, and they said, man, how did you manage to create something so beautiful? And in the story, Michelangelo replies and he goes, it's simple. I just removed everything that was not David. I just removed everything that was not David. So it is essentially saying this statue was inside of this marble all the time. All I did was I took away the pieces that were not the statue. And this idea that you can create something beautiful by removing everything that does not belong has been adopted as a touchstone by a number of artists. And today, as we discuss this next value in our co-mission series, namely to pursue deep formation in Jesus, I want us to think a little bit about what it means to surrender our lives on the deepest, deepest level to the master sculptor, so that he can fashion and form us, removing all the parts of us that are not Shay, and not Joe, and not Taiki, and not Maya, and not Louie, and not Paula. And that as he does that, the intended outcome is for us to look more and more like Jesus, but also more and more fully alive, more and more like ourselves. The purpose of formation really is to fashion and form us into the image of Jesus through time in his presence, but also to help us become all that God has intended for us to be. You see, there's something about the world looking at us as people who are in Christ, in Jesus, that are not just looking like Jesus, but also looking like Jesus in us, with our sense of humor and our intricacies and the things we love and the things we've been created to enjoy in this world, for the world to look at us and see real people fully alive and in love with Jesus. Now, as I thought about this formation thing, I thought, what is a real world example that would probably draw us closer to it, or what is the best example that I could think of? And I have to be honest, it's probably the phase of life that I'm in, but it's parenting. You know, there's something about trying to form this little wild creature into all that they are destined to be, with all of their crazy, with everything else that's happening. I mean, if any of you have been around kids, you would know they don't really listen very well, and they're a little bit wayward at times, and they're easily distracted, and they're really willful. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Maybe I'm not talking about kids right now. But there's such a vibe trying to get a child out the door in the morning. I think yesterday morning we're desperately just trying to get to somewhere, and we're talking to Ori, our little girl, and we're like, we really, really need to go now. And she's like, okay, but I just need to build a fort quickly, you know, and we're trying to really form and fashion her and, you know, remove the bits that we can see are the really sharp bits, and the bits that need to be cleared out, and the bits that don't look like who we know she is. And often we find ourselves in those moments saying things to her like, you know what, baby, you're really kind, and this thing you're doing is unkind, and I don't think this is who you are. And I think sometimes it's just trying to remove those things and reinforce the things that we know are truly who she is. And already we can see glimpses of the young woman that she's going to be one day. She's strong and she's faithful and she's kind, and all of the crazy is worth it when you have those glimpses of who your kids are going to be, and we know that she's going to change the world. And I think when God looks at us, when he looks at who he created us to be, when he looks at the potential of who we are headed towards being, I think he feels the same way. He has that thing in his heart of, man, these guys, everyone sitting here, they are going to change the world. All they need to do is surrender their lives to me. So if spiritual formation is about surrendering our lives to the master sculptor, then there are three things that we really need to understand. We need to understand the goal, we need to understand the problem, and we need to understand the pathway. Like, how are we going to get there? And really, the goal is simply this. It's to be formed into the image of Christ. You guys would see I've got my little friend over here. And really, today I brought him with me because this little guy represents the person God created each of us to be. And the clay that you see represented in the front here, that represents everything that has conformed us into the image of this world. Essentially, the things that are not us. And when we speak about spiritual formation, one of the best definitions we have is the one put forward by John Mark Comer. And when he speaks about spiritual formation, he says it's the process by which our spirit, our inner man or woman, is formed into a particular shape or character. And the problem is that our formation into the image of Christ really starts with a blank slate. I mean, this little guy looks clean, doesn't he? But for most of us, by the time we come to Christ, we've been formed already. Things have happened to us, whether it's habits that are formed within us, whether it's stories or narratives or lies that we've started to believe about who we are, or whether it's relationships that have formed us, our parents, our friends, other people in our lives. And really, there's something about recognizing that by the time we come to Christ, there's already a bit of shaping that has happened in our lives. Now, there's this passage in Luke 6 where Jesus is sharing. And initially, when I read it, I thought, man, Jesus just sounds irritated with the disciples and the crowd that he's speaking to when he reads this passage. But as I get older, as I read this passage, I realize it's just Jesus trying to say, you know what? You guys need to realize you need me. You need me to help form and fashion and come alongside you. So we're going to read that passage, Luke 6, verse 39, and you'll see we highlight verse 40 on the screen, but we're going to be reading from verse 39 to around verse 42. And it says, he also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when you yourself fail to see the plank in your eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. It sounds angry, but it's not. I think sometimes when I read this scripture, what I see in it is it reveals a couple of things. Firstly, that we need a teacher. We need a rabbi that will help us see what we are unable to see. And that's that sometimes there's stuff in our lives that we've buried, or there's parts of ourselves that we have actually kept off limits to Jesus. Those things where maybe we're not even aware of the own speck in our eye, or maybe we're aware, but we don't really want Jesus to come into those spaces and do the things that only he can do. And I think the second thing that this passage reveals is just that reality, the goal that ultimately a life surrendered to Jesus will be shaped and formed into his image. We ultimately will look like the teacher if we surrender our life to him and allow him to come and fashion and form us as only he can do. But the reality is that kind of formation does not happen unintentionally. It involves and it requires of us to surrender our lives in a certain way. So Romans 12 verse 1 to 2, many of you have read this passage many times before, but in it, it says the following. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And here it comes. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Now, this passage mentions two very different words, and the word conform and the word transform. Well, the question is, when we speak about conform versus transform, are we being shaped into whomever society or our friends or our government or the university or social media or even our own wayward hearts are wanting us to become? Because you see, the word conform, what that means is it means to be formed by outside pressure. In other words, forces outside of ourselves are busy forming us and changing us and changing our shape into something else. It's to be pressed in from outside. And really, the difference between that and this word transform is that transform implies being changed from the inside out. It's the word metamorphosis, and many of us would know that word from caterpillar becoming butterfly, essentially our entire nature being changed. So this piece of scripture comes and it says, are you being conformed? Are you being shaped by everything around you, or are you being transformed? Are you being ultimately changed from the inside out by Jesus? Now, transformation is to become who you were created to be. And often, if that means to be more like Jesus, it will be countercultural. It will not look like the world, because let's face it, our culture often does not resemble Jesus at all. Now, Romans tells us there are only these two options. It's either conformation or transformation. And that formation, the counterformation we're speaking about, usually happens through certain influences. So our worldly conformation happens through our habits, the things we do regularly, and it happens through our stories or narratives, the things we've started to believe, and it happens through relationships that we find ourselves in, and it happens through our environment. Because let's face it, if I'm a fish and I'm in water, I'm going to be shaped by what's around me. If I am a person from Pretoria and I live in this city, the hustle, the bustle, the things that we have in our city are also going to start to shape us. There's something very different about someone from Johannesburg and someone from Pretoria. You can hear it in the accent. My wife is generally what you'll hear out of the mouth of someone from Joburg. But there's certain things. John Tyson speaks about New York, and he says, do you know that you can recognize a New Yorker by the way that they walk through this city? There's a certain pace that they start to adopt in that city. And yes, we are shaped by the environment that we are in. So our habits begin to shape us a certain way, and our relationships, yes, they start to shape us. Our stories start to shape us, and our environment starts to shape us. And eventually, we maybe don't look exactly as we were intended to look in the first place. And this kind of shaping and formation happens over time, and it happens through almost every experience we have. And the honest truth is, most of our formation is unintentional. None of us expect to look a certain way at the end of it, but because it's unintentional, we wake up, we go about our normal life, years pass, and one day we realize we've been formed into a particular shape by our upbringing and our studies, our relationships, our trauma, and our city. But that's why in Doxodea we want to be intentional about this kind of formation, and why we speak about knowing God and loving people and then impacting our world. We pursue discipleship and spiritual growth so that every city changer, and yes, if you're in Doxodea, you are a city changer, so that every city changer knows God deeply And we live as a person of influence, establishing Jesus' values and purposes in our world, in our workplaces, our universities, our schools, our families, in every space we are in. We long to be shaped into the form of Jesus so that we can go and influence every space we enter into with the culture of heaven. That's why we exist. And that means that we intentionally arrange our lives around a formational discipleship journey with Jesus so that we can do just that. But the problem is, and we've already voiced it, the problem is we've already been formed into something by the time we enter into that formational relationship with Jesus. All of us have been formed. All of us are being formed. So if we can pause for a moment, think about this in your own life. Think about what the influences are that are shaping you even now. If you had to say what the strongest forces are that are making you the person that you are today, what are they? Is it Jesus? Is it the people around you? Is it your habits, the things you do, the doom scrolling that you spend time in, the things you watch? Because here in this space, the reason we're having this series, the reason we speak about these values is because this is a value for us as Doxodeo Hatfield. If you're in this church, if you've said you're a partner here, then you're saying that a value for you is to be formed into the image of Jesus. And we're going to unapologetically keep encouraging you to do just that. At some point, we need to take stock and we need to honestly ask ourselves if what we're doing is positioning our lives in such a way that we have the maximum exposure to the formation of Jesus so that we look more and more and more like him. And it's a long game question. So it's not, do I look more like him today than yesterday? Because sometimes, you know, it's a little hard to gauge. But it's, do I look more like him now than I did a year ago? Have I been moved further in the journey? And more than that, does my workplace, my classroom, my school, my university, my home, my family, does my city look a little bit more like heaven than it did last year? Because I am becoming more and more like Jesus. Those are the questions we're asking. And if the answer is no, then we need to start getting intentional up in here. Amen? Amen. Now, I've always loved church. I have. And if I'm sounding a little breathy, it's just because I've been battling flu this week. But I've always loved the church. I came to Christ as a very broken boy at 16. And once I tasted forgiveness and freedom, once I experienced the love of community, I just jumped in with both feet. Throughout my teenage and my young adult years, I served in church. I led youth group. I joined the serving teams, became a student pastor at a church not far from here. I was doing all the stuff. I was doing it. And underneath, the honest truth is my anger, perfectionism, bitterness, anxiety, habitual sin, all those deeply ingrained habits that take me further away from Jesus. Those things, they were still there. They were still just below the surface. For everyone looking externally, I was doing this stuff. I was reading my Bible, praying every day. I was growing and I was tithing and it was all just evident on the surface. But those deeper things, Jesus didn't have access to that stuff. I was just going through the motions. And I've got to be honest, after serving in church for almost 30 years, I know, can you believe it? I look good for my age. But after serving in church for almost 30 years, I realized that for many of us, at some point, we get stuck in the journey. We have that growth spurt in the beginning and we're busy growing, but at some point, maybe we get stuck in cycles of sin and shame and And we get stuck in some dysfunctional patterns that just go back generations, or we get stuck in hurt and wounds from our past, or we simply just stuck in a wrong understanding of what God is calling us to in this life. And the only way to get unstuck really is to give God access to those areas that have got us stuck at the moment. Because author and pastor Rich Villadas, he puts words to what we all already know. It is entirely possible to be deeply committed to being a Christian and yet not to be deeply formed by Christ. It sounds crazy to even make that statement, but the problem with surface level Christianity is that it's easy to look like Jesus when you are secure in your relationships and your job and your finances and your future. But when those things start to buckle and life gets hard, who we truly are starts to bubble up to the surface. Now, for Maya and I, that meant seasons of unemployment and losing loved ones and infertility and adoption and work stress and financial pressures. And you know what? Just parenting will help some of that stuff bubble up. And as life started to put pressure on us, those parts of us that we had not yet surrendered to formation came bubbling up to the top. And who of you can relate to that? Who of you can relate to when life starts to get really rough? There's just stuff that starts to come up. The stuff that comes out of your mouth is the most interesting stuff in those moments. I mean, who can relate to the following? I mean, I love Jesus, but when that car cuts me off, I speed up to come alongside them and flip them the bird. I've been stressed for weeks and I'm just angry all the time. And this was the natural progression of what I was feeling. I mean, I love Jesus, but I hate that coworker of mine. She got the promotion I wanted and it's happened to me before. And now I just feel bitter about work. Or maybe I love Jesus, but I've stopped believing God has a good plan for my life because the last two relationships I was in, they didn't work out, and they didn't work out the way I wanted. And I still do the thing, but Jesus and I, we're not talking right now. Or maybe I love Jesus, but you know what? I also love casual sex or porn or money or myself more than I love Jesus. So when the hard times come, those are the things that I turn to. It's gotten really quiet in here. Anyone else feel that way, or is it just me? But what if there's more? And it's waiting for us, and all we need to do is to give Jesus access. We've got to maybe just be honest about the fact that we've given Jesus access to the basement levels of our hearts and our minds, but we've never let him into the penthouse. We've never given him access to the top floors. And are you ready to do that today? Are you ready to do that and to trust that the person he is going to form you into is the best version of you that will ever exist, but also the version of you that will bring you the most joy and will give your life the most purpose? Psalm 139, verse 13 to 16, it says it this way. It says, "For you created my inmost being, and you knit me together in my mother's womb, and I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, you saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." You see, God forms us lovingly and full of purpose, and he ordains every day of our lives, and he dreams over who we will become, and then life happens. And while none of this catches him by surprise, none of these extra little add-ons are shocking to him, it does explain why formation is necessary and why we need to surrender our lives to Jesus so that he can start to sort out some of the stuff that has adhered to us that is not actually a part of who we are. We need formation because none of us start as a blank slate when we come to Jesus. So to counter the habits, we're going to need the practices of Jesus. And to counter our relationships over here, we're going to need community. And to counter the stories or the narratives that we believe, we need the teachings of Jesus. And to counter our environment, we need the Holy Spirit to come and help us navigate this crazy, crazy city that we have chosen to dwell in. So we're just going to say a couple of words about each of those. Our habits, if our habits are forming us, and if scrolling on social media, reading the news multiple times a day, shopping for things we don't need, if those things are the things that are forming us, then one of the first steps we need to take are to replace those habits with the practices of Jesus. What were the things that Jesus did that made him who he was and that kept him connected to his Father? Those were the things like Sabbath and prayer and scripture, community, fasting, solitude, and really the things that essentially just said, God, I want to make so much of who I am available to you. And the only way I know to do that is through the practices of Jesus. And these practices in and of themselves are not magical in any way. All they're doing is they're making intentional steps to make ourselves more and more available to the formation that happens in Jesus. That is why we do those things. That's why we take Sabbath. We pray. We get into the scriptures. We prioritize community, and we spend time of quiet with our God. Richard Foster, in Celebration of Discipline, he simply said, the disciplines are not the answer, but they lead us to the answer. And as we do what we can do, offering our mind and our body to God, he does what we cannot do. He forms us into a people of love and joy and peace. Secondly, if we're being formed by our relationships, and let's be honest, we are formed by our relationships. If our view of the world, our value system, our daily behaviors are being shaped more by our peer group or the family we grew up in or our office culture or the influences we follow on Instagram than they are by Jesus and the kingdom of God, then we need to start prioritizing the kind of relationships that are drawing us closer to him and not further away from him. If we're sitting here this morning, I'm sure a few of us can think of at least one relationship that we know, man, that relationship, it probably isn't drawing me closer to Jesus. It's drawing me further away from him. And it's hard because we love those people. We've journeyed with those people, but sometimes God's calling us to just maybe take a break from those guys and girls that are just taking us further from him. The most significant influences in our lives should belong to those who know and love God deeply. It's the people in this room. It's the community that we are choosing to do life with. And that's why Joe so eloquently last week just spoke into those realities in our lives. If you're not in a community group, I want to definitively say it again. You're missing out on some of the deep formational stuff that makes this work and that is going to form you into who you need to be. So, thirdly, if the stories we believe are forming us, if we're allowing our upbringing, Hollywood, social media, the education system to form who we become and what we believe more than Jesus and scripture, then we need to become more intentional about the stories we allow to shape us. Our community group met yesterday, and we're busy working through Louis Giglio's series and book, Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table. And we were speaking through the morning. There's just these things we start to believe over time. Man, God, you know what, I know you love them, but I don't think you love me. I mean, how can you with where I've been and what I've done? Or God, I know you have a plan for my life, but I don't think I'm ever going to get there. Or man, God, I think I've messed up so badly, I'm never ever going to be able to reach the things that you've intended for me or planned for me. Or maybe, you know what, I'm just not worthy of love. And there are these narratives that as we adopt them, Jesus wants to come and fix those things. And you know how he fixes them? He fixes them with his word. He fixes them with his truth. He fixes them with community that's going to reinforce who we truly are. I spoke about it earlier. When our little girl is acting in ways that are counterintuitive to who we know she is, then what do we speak over her? Man, you're such a mess up. No, that's not at all what we speak over. Maybe in a moment of weakness. No, I'm kidding. We don't. But what we do speak over is we speak the truth of who she is. You know what? You're a princess and princesses don't do this. Man, you are so unbelievably kind. So don't be unkind to your friends. Because that is her true nature. We're calling that out. We're replacing the lie that she believes with the truth. And that is what Jesus wants to come and do in our counter formation. And finally, our environment and the world we live in needs to be tempered with the Holy Spirit informing what it is we see and what God's truth is over that space. Maybe we look at our workplace and we think, man, this is such an ungodly place. I just want to be somewhere else. I just want to walk away from this thing. Or we're looking at our university and we're like, man, I have no hope that Jesus is going to be established in this space. Or we're looking at our marriage and we're going, there's no hope for this thing. And the Holy Spirit wants to come and say, yes, this is your environment. And it can shape you. Or you can, through the power of the Spirit, step into that environment and shape it and start to do what we are called to do as city changers. There's something about tempering environment with Holy Spirit and seeing the spaces and the places that we're in through the eyes of Jesus. And that can only happen through the power of the Spirit. It is how we manage to endure. It's how we manage not to be conformed to the image of the environment that we're in, because the Spirit is in us. So friends, our spiritual formation will take place over a lifetime of apprenticeship under Jesus. But for that to happen, we all of us need to commit to three simple things. And the first thing, we've spoken about it, is to give him access. The second thing is to intentionally prioritize his presence in our lives. And the third thing, and this is maybe the hardest thing, is to stay the course, because it is a long game. It's a long game. We can't give up because our progress is slow and maybe it's taking a little bit longer than we would want it to. Can we all commit to that? Amen. Amen. So we're going to enter into a time of meditation like we have every week as part of this series. And you'll see there is a slide that's going to be up on the screen. And essentially what we're doing is just meditating and asking God, God, would you come and speak to me about which area you want me to grow in as we commit to formation in Jesus, whether it's devotion or vulnerability or responsibility or priority or perseverance. But would you come and challenge us this morning, God? Would you come and do the work within us that only you can do? Would you show us whether or not it's becoming more intentional in my discipleship or really, God, letting you into those places that are off limits at the moment to you? We love you and we surrender our hearts and our minds to you now. Come and speak to us, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.